Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
The Georgia Tech conversation continues as we bring you the good word. Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard are talking all things Georgia Tech as they set the plate for the coming week. Talk with Georgia Tech insiders and get you up to speed on all things Yellow Jackets. Now, the good word.
Listen, Matt, my laptop's big because I'm used to handling big things. Bye, buddy. It's the good word, live on the Fan, 680, 93.7 FM. You're home for innuendo and double entendre. That's indeed. Justin Hanover. I'm Chris Mooneyham. Is my laptop really that big, though? Everybody always says it that. Is. I mean, I know it's big, but...
Yeah, it's really big. I've got those little, I don't even know what they're called anymore, the Google Chromebooks that I enjoy.
Okay.
I mean, it's like half the size of that thing.
I know it's big, but I like to, you know, I watch shows and sports on here and movies, and so I like for it to be big.
That won't fit in, like, the normal bag.
I have what's what? My bag is normal.
Yeah, but you've got that wide, that double wide bag that you bought for like $300, and then you're upset you paid so much.
Because, tell everybody why. Because the lining's coming out.
I don't remember if I was listening to that part, but okay.
For good gracious gosh almighty.
But we're going to have fun, though.
When?
Right now.
Right now?
Oh, yes. Things Yellow Jackets.
What are we even talking about?
This is a
still
big,
mad about the
big
bag.
Game. No, this is... Look, here's the deal. We've both been on here a bunch, okay? We've spoken Damon Stoudemire and Tech for a long time now, after Brent Key and Tech for a long time.
Yeah.
This is almost the bowl game. This is the playoff for Damon Stoudemire. This is, and I hate to be this insane about it, but this game tomorrow, to me, is a lot of the season. Define success or not success. They've had great wins this year. They've built a nice little thing, but the record still wasn't great. There are still some bad outings. Tomorrow is where they prove to me that, you know what, we're really in a good spot right now. We took a game in the tournament. We got to play Wake. Hopefully that's down the stretch. Maybe they take another game. This, to me, is a very important part of this season. If they lose tomorrow, I'm going to be disappointed because they should win this game. They should not lose to Notre Dame three times. Georgia Tech is a very good young team, and they have to win this game to really prove that they are a good young team ready to go.
We'll talk about the ball game coming up tomorrow, which, of course, you'll be able to hear live here on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, the 680 The Fan mobile app, 680thefan.com. As the Jackets get ready for Notre Dame, it'll be a 2 p.m. tip tomorrow, and we'll be on the air here locally on The Fan and across the state, across the world, on the Georgia Tech Sports Network from Legend Sports at 1:30 with a Ramblin' Wreck tip-off show. It was, since the last time we all got together, Jackets put together a win and a loss on the hardwood. We're going to talk about the ball game versus Notre Dame coming up in our final segment. The final edition, by the way. Let us not forget to mention that. It's the final edition of The Good Word. I got to tell you, I'm sad.
Yes, let's talk. We don't have to talk necessarily business and the deal with everything going on. But the station now, another 5 years, I think we can mention it. Is that fair?
I thought they told us not to talk about it, that was top secret.
Okay, well, we're going to be doing this another 5 years with extended programming, I would assume, The Good Word. So this thing is here for good.
You know what? I was going to talk about that a little bit later, but let's go ahead and get into it. No, absolutely not. It's fine.
You craft the show, so however you want to do it.
I love it.
But I think that's a big point.
Georgia Tech and Dickey Broadcasting did announce this. Well, when was it? What day was it?
It was 2 days ago, three days ago.
Okay, thank you.
I believe Friday.
Okay, yeah. You know how I am with days right now with all the work we've
no
got.
No idea.
Yeah. A brand new renewal of the contract for the next 5 years. The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM, the Dickey Broadcasting family of stations, Extra, 106.3 FM, 1230 AM, the Extra mobile app. We will be your home for Georgia Tech football, Georgia Tech basketball, the Brent Keyes Show, the Damon Stoudemire Show, and, of course, a little show I like to call, I came up with the name, The Good Word.
Did you?
Yeah.
No.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, I wasn't really going to brag about it. I just figured I'd slip it in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I never told you that?
Never knew that.
I did. Matt Edgar came to me with the idea for the show, and I said, yes, I'd love to work that show. That'd be great. I'd love to be a part of it. Thanks for asking me. I hit him back up 2 days later and said, hey, I don't know if you're still planning on trying to do that show, but I got a great name that I think you're going to love. And he said, that's it. That's the winner. Let's do it.
If that's a true story, good for you.
Yeah, it's a true story. Of course, I wouldn't make that up, especially not on live radio. Because everything that's said on live radio is, you know, remembered.
By the way, your beard's filling well.
I told you.
First time I've seen you in the studio, I think, since
I know
we spoke about the debacle of the shaving.
I shaved 2 days ago. Look at it now.
Look good?
No, I'm only kidding.
You look good.
It wasn't 2 days ago. I told you.
You need that thing on there.
I'm a big, stupid, hairy animal.
Yeah, you need that thing.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've reached a point in my age now with a slope in my neck.
I've lost an inch in height.
I'm telling you. I just can't go without the beard anymore. I've got this slope in my neck. All right, we just talked about four different things in the matter of 2 minutes. In all seriousness, we're very excited when we found out the news that Dickey Broadcasting Company and Georgia Tech had re-signed the deal and that we will be your home for Georgia Tech athletics for the next 5 years. Means a great deal to you, means a great deal to me, means a great deal for our show. Wiley Ballard, of course, who's not here with us tonight, and sends along his thoughts to all of you out there in listener land. Very disappointed he couldn't be here for the final edition of The Good Word until we hit August, that is. At least we assume we're going to be back in August. We've not heard word on that, but... yeah, really exciting time around these parts and for you and me specifically as well.
Yeah, I mean, we had a blast during football. Again, similar, you know, it's sort of like a microcosm of those two teams. The football team, how the new coach develop a new culture. The basketball team, new coach develop a new culture. Both around the 500 mark, both teams disappointing losses at times where you really got down. And then some really great wins where you really got high. You know, they really were similar paths the way the seasons went through and through. And it puts you on that roller coaster journey, but it gives you that feel that good times are ahead. A lot of young guys on both teams, quality coaching on both teams. It really is a program that's on the come right now.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. And now signing this contract for another 5 years really lets us for sure live out what we're going to see in these two regimes.
Director of Athletics from Georgia Tech, Jay Batts, said, we're proud that 680 and 93.7 FM, The Fan, will remain the flagship station of the Georgia Tech Sports Network, as it has been for the last 30 years plus. In addition to the benefits that come with having Georgia Tech's football and men's basketball radio broadcasts on the Southeast's preeminent sports radio station,
that's us,
we're especially excited and grateful to partner with 680 as we look to create and expand innovated audio content for Tech's fans worldwide. Many thanks to David Dickey and all the great people at Dickey Broadcasting Company for their continued support of Georgia Tech athletics. So,
awesome. Jay, I mean, talk about a guy that's done a phenomenal job. That's Jay Batt.
Well, yeah,
everything he's touched has been great.
Let's hear from David Dickey as well, who is, of course, General Manager, President of Dickey Broadcasting Company. He said, we're excited that 680 The Fan will continue to serve as the proud radio home of Georgia Tech athletics. We look forward to working with Jay and his team to create and deliver great Georgia Tech-themed content and events. 680 The Fan has been the college football voice of the South for over three decades, and Georgia Tech athletics plays a big role in that. So, 5 more years of Georgia Tech athletics here on the FAN. And tonight we wrap up The Good Word. Throughout the fall, throughout the winter, and now as we get ready to start the spring, from football to, well, we talked a little baseball. We've talked a little women's basketball. We've talked a little softball. I think we talked a little softball. What else have we talked about? Well, now, of course,
mentioned about a good tennis player who went to, what, a Wimbledon semifinal.
Oh, that's right.
A golfer that was leading, I believe, was at the Masters after a round in Lamprecht.
That's right.
I mean, Tech's on the map, really extending the tentacles in a little bit of everywhere.
Tentacles.
Yeah.
Nice.
You like that?
I did like that a lot. Since the last time we all got together, Jackets, with a win during the week and a loss on the hardwood last Tuesday, a dramatic victory over Wake Forest, 70-69. The final by Dongo hits the game winner with just under a second remaining in the ball game. A ball game where the Rec started the game out 14-0, 26-7, held on for the victory. Then on Saturday, Tech fell in the regular season finale at Virginia. What a great win that was versus Wake Forest on the road at the Joel, becoming the first team this year to knock off the Demon Deacons at home, a place where they've won 46 games, I think it is, in the last 6 years, some 4 years, some crazy number like that. That was a massive, massive win for Damon Stoudemire. In some ways, certainly one of the top five wins of his initial season, but, I mean, you could argue it was one of the top three wins, even with North Carolina and Duke and so on and so forth. It's a big, big win because you jumped out to the big lead, you played really well, Wake put two runs together, climbed back to within striking distance, took the lead, of course, late in the ball game. You were able to hold them from taking the – you didn't have the collapse, frankly, that you've had so many times this year. And then you were able to come up with a clutch stop and a clutch bucket to win the ball game.
Well, if you want to account for the experts who know the most, referring to, obviously, Vegas, this was the biggest win of the Damon Stoudemire era. You're talking 13.5, 14-point underdog in that game in Winston-Salem. Whereas the one at home against Duke was about that, about 13. The Carolina game was at home. That number was only 8. So this game at Wake Forest, according to the spread at least and the people in the know, was the biggest upset in the Damon Stoudemire era so far. I mean, and he's had some huge wins. Mississippi State at home was about 8 as well, 8-9 points. But this being a 14-point underdog, and again, you know, I just mentioned how they followed suit with what the football team has done. The huge 20-point underdog role for Brent Key, how they've been successful there. The trend has continued with Damon Stoudemire. They lose games that they're almost supposed to win, you know, BC and Notre Dame at home, and then they come back and they just beat North Carolina. It's the same thing the way the schedule has turned out. It's amazing. You're beating all these elite teams, and then you're just not there yet, so you fall in the games maybe you should win.
Miles Kelly, 19 points in that win over Wake. Nate George had 16. Tafara Gapari went for 11. By Dongo ended up with 9 points on 11 rebounds. You had another guy who had a chance to have a double-double in that ball game as well. What a great, great win that was for Georgia Tech, which with that win had their third straight victory. It was their fourth in their previous five leading into the Virginia ball game. And again, I got to mention this. You also did this after having lost to Wake Forest by a wide, wide margin. What was the final? Was it a 28, 27, 28, 29 point loss?
80-51.
80-51. Okay, yeah. So 29. After a 29 point loss on your home floor just a month earlier. So what a great, great win that was for Georgia Tech.
It's a team that was on a roll. It was a great win. Remember, they beat Florida State handily. They then won that game at Wake. The first one was at Miami. I know the Hurricanes are struggling, but it was a great three-game winning streak.
Good gracious.
A couple of those on the road against some big-time programs. And then in really what turned out to be, Chris, a meaningless game there in Charlottesville, by the time the tip happened, they were either going to be the 12 or the 13. They were going to play Notre Dame no matter what. I think it was just one of those let down spots where I don't even think Coach Stoudemire was worried about it. Andy spoke to him afterwards, and he almost intimated, like, he didn't say it was a meaningless game. He obviously wanted them to play better, but he almost, his tone you could feel was like, you know what, we're moving on to D.C. now. This didn't affect us. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So we're the 13 and not the 12. We still play Notre Dame. I just get the feeling that this team is really ready to go. They've been playing really well. They had one bad loss. It almost has the feel to me of they're going to take care of business, and they're going to take care of business in a big-time way tomorrow.
Well, that ball game in Charlottesville was a 72-57 loss, unfortunately.
Which was worse, by the way.
Say again?
It should have been worse. I mean, 15 points doesn't give the due. They scored some late points, but they got blown out. There's no sugarcoating what happened.
Now, Bidongo goes for 21 points in the ball game. You got to give Virginia some credit as well, though, by the way. They knocked down 12, 13 three-pointers in the ball game. Yeah. They shot over 50% overall for the affair. Really, it was a lot of this was on Georgia Tech's defense and an inability to close out on jump shooters and make shot to keep them from making shots, I beg your pardon. Also have to make sure to mention some news for Georgia Tech today. Guys receiving postseason accolades. You want to tell everybody about
it,
Justin?
No, go for it.
Go ahead, because I'm still pulling it up.
Oh, sure. Miles Kelly, the All-ACC, what was it, an honorable mention type deal, obviously. But Miles Kelly, look, Miles Kelly is a fantastic player.
Honorable mention All-ACC. Yes.
When that guy is on, he's as good as they come. The problem is he's just been inconsistent. He scored, I think it was zero the other night. There was a game, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. He also had a goose egg. You know, that just shouldn't happen from a guy that has the upside and ability he has. I love watching Miles Kelly. I think he's got another year here. I think he's a fabulous player for this program. I just think he needs to step up and just be a little more consistent in these games. You just can't have a zero on the board.
Bidongo earns a spot on the ACC's all-rookie team. These two accolades for Miles Kelly and Bidongo announced yesterday afternoon?
No, it was this afternoon, right?
Yeah. R.J. Davis, for those of you that keep up with the rest of the ACC, R.J. Davis from North Carolina was voted as the conference's player of the year. Hubert Davis from Carolina, the ACC coach of the year. No big surprise that those two guys would win that award. With Carolina putting together the type of season that they put together, Virginia's Reese Beekman is the ACC defensive player of the year. Also no big surprise. That's a second in a row for him. Yeah. It's the second in a row for Beekman.
Good player. He beat us bad the other day.
Yeah. He was the defensive player of the year last year. That's right. Okay. I had to kind of cycle through a little bit. Notre Dame's Marcus Burton was named the ACC's Rookie of the Year, beating out Bidongo and Nate George. But Nate had his little dip. He started a little bit later, just barely, but just a little later. By certainly would have been among the top three probably for the Rookie of the Year. But, I mean, look, the Burton kid had a great season, great, so yeah. It is what it is. Yeah. Ian Scheflin is the ACC's most improved player, and Pitt's Ishmael Leggett was picked as the sixth man of the year. So the awards spread out throughout the ACC, which has been a funny, funny league this year, man. I mean, in some ways you can say the league is down, and I think that overall that's probably true. But I think part of it, too, is that you just got a lot of parity in the middle of the conference. And a lot of those teams in the middle just beat the daylights out of each other and kind of drag down some of the other good teams. You look at Clemson. I mean, Clemson's a good team that can win two or three tournament games. I really believe that, depending on how the brackets lay out, of course. They could also get, you know, upset in round one.
Sure.
But I think a team like Clemson could win two or certainly two, maybe even a third NCAA tournament game and maybe win a couple of ACC tournament games as well. But because they were down a little bit, and because they didn't play so well in some key ball games in the ACC, they kind of got dragged down in the standings a little bit. That's just the way the ACC's been this year.
Well, the epitome of really showing how even in the parity of the whole thing is Georgia Tech. They beat the number one team, North Carolina.
Great point.
They beat the number two team in Duke. They beat the number five team in Clemson on the road. They beat the number six team in Syracuse. They beat the number seven team in Wake Forest on the road. And then you look at all the teams basically around them at the bottom they lost to. So you're looking at a conference that certainly North Carolina and Duke, I guess, can beat anybody in the country, but they're also vulnerable. So it makes for the kind of parity that we saw this year and no bigger indication than what the Yellow Jackets have and have not done this season.
With that, we'll take our first break. When we come back, you can never get away from talking about football. And since this is our finale for the year until the football season comes back around, no better time for us to talk about the gridiron, especially with spring practices now underway on the flats. We'll talk a little gridiron when we come back. It's Justin Hanover, yours truly, Chris Mooneyham, with David Holloway pushing pedals and flipping knobs, and we're live on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM.
The Fan is the proud home of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets for the next 5 years.
Five more years! Five more years! Chuck, you're not chanting with me.
Oh, I'm used to the four more year thing. This is even better.
The Fan and Georgia Tech have extended our partnership so we can continue to bring you Tech football and hoops for years to come.
Let me bring in the director of athletics for Georgia Tech. He is Jay Batt.
Thanks, guys. Couldn't be more excited to be on right after sharing the partnership news of our extension, and I'm ready for five more years as well.
Atlanta's Sports Station continues on as the flagship home of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, The Fan, and the 680 The Fan app.
With Invesco QQQ ETF, you can join an all-star team. Invesco QQQ allows you to access 100 NASDAQ companies innovating on and off the field, all in one fund. Invesco QQQ is the official ETF of the Atlanta Braves and Georgia Tech Athletics. They're a proud partner of the University of Georgia Athletics, and they're a proud partner of the Atlanta community. So become an agent of innovation and game changer with Invesco QQQ. One fund, 100 all-stars.
There are risks involved with investing in ETFs, including possible loss of money. ETFs are subject to risks similar to those of stocks. Investments focused in the technology sector are subject to greater risk and are more greatly impacted by market volatility than more diversified investments. The NASDAQ 100 Index comprises the 100 largest non-financial companies traded on the NASDAQ. An investment cannot be made directly into an index. NCAA is a trademark of the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Invesco is not affiliated with the NCAA, Atlanta Braves, Georgia Tech, or University of Georgia Athletics. Before investing, consider the fund's investments, objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit Invesco.com for a prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully before investing. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Are you shopping for that dream engagement ring or looking for the perfect wedding bands? Ever wish you could see, feel, and try on all your options in one place that's not a website? No need to imagine. Do all this and more at D. Geller & Sons' Spring Bridal Event. We've been bringing the top jewelry designers in the world to Atlanta since 1939, and we're doing it again March 22nd through 24th. An event-only selection of the city's best diamonds in all shapes and sizes, extended lines of handcrafted rings from top designers like Verragio and Michael M., and even exclusive fashion and wedding day jewelry. D. Geller & Son has Atlanta's top team of jewelry experts to help you find your perfect match in this incredible selection. You can even work with them online ahead of time. Plus, jewelers on site to set the diamond, size the ring, and bring your dreams to life. And of course, event-only savings, up to $3,000 off or 0% APR financing for 36 months. It's one weekend only, March 22nd through 24th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms. RSVP online at dgeller.com.
Hey, it's Front Office Lowe's for entry point doors and windows. With mortgage rates at 30-year highs, you're probably not selling your house anytime soon. So it's time to invest in your home and improve its curb appeal and energy efficiency with new windows and doors from Entry Point Doors and Windows. At Entry Point Doors and Windows, there are no buy one, get one free sales gimmicks. Just upfront, transparent pricing from a locally owned company that's been in Atlanta for over two decades. Your home is probably your biggest asset, so invest in it today with Entry Point Doors and Windows. Visit their expanded showroom or go online at entrypointatlanta.com to get a free estimate.
I'm Dr. Gilchrist. I'm a urologist at Urology of Greater Atlanta. I specialize in female urology and urogynecology. I regularly see women for recurrent urinary tract infections. My job is really to help diagnose and treat patients with recurrent urinary tract infections so we can come up with a prevention plan, make sure we're not dealing with anything more serious, and get them on to living their lives and improve their quality of life.
To book your appointment, call 770-474-5281 or visit UGATL.com.
Too often, insurance companies fail to make a person whole after they have suffered an accident or are injured on the job. At Stottlemyre & Associates, we know how frustrating it can be when you can't get the financial help you deserve and the medical treatment you need. I built our highly specialized firm to handle personal injury and workers' comp cases only, which allows us to give your case the best representation possible. So if you've been in an accident or injured on the job, call us, Stottlemyre & Associates, the take-no-sh** lawyers who care about you. Visit StottlemyreLaw.com.
Just a short time ago, we set out to change the way Atlanta buys cars. It's called Beaver Direct. It's fast, it's fun, it's fantastic. Check this out. Go to BeaverToyotaComing.com, find the vehicle that you want, chat live, or even video call with one of our Beaver Direct team members. No scripts, no bots, no more waiting for answers. Get your price, trade value, and payments in minutes. We'll even deliver your new car and pick up your trade-in. Truly enjoy your next buying experience at BeaverToyotaCumming.com.
Guys, you know from listening, I don't hold back, and I let my sports and life opinions run free. Be like me and adopt the mentality today by grabbing a Zero FG Energy drink. Stop by your nearest convenience store. If they don't have it, tell them get it. Zero FG Energy. Live free and save your energy.
This is The Good Word with Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
Sure it is. The Good Word finale. Boy, oh boy. Seems like just yesterday. No, I'm only kidding. It seems like forever. No, I'm totally kidding. Wrapping up our season of The Good Word. Fall, winter, and into the spring with Justin Hanover. I'm Chris Mooney. I appreciate you being with us. Wiley Ballard sends along his thoughts, wishes he could be here.
Where is he? Is he skiing again?
No, he's on assignment.
Sure he is.
In Uzbekistan.
Getting the Super Bowl jerseys that...
Uzbekistan. Yeah.
He's that doing San Francisco had?
He's doing a story for 60 Minutes.
On the Mujahideen. Yeah.
So football. Spring practice underway on the flats, of course, down at the Rose Bowl field. Always an exciting time. Brent Key has his men back out on the practice field. So much to talk about for this team. Justin sort of blew a little gasket during the break as we were talking about football. And he said, oh, which way do you want to go with this? We're going to talk a little football coming up. Because I surprised him with a topic, if I'm just being honest. Because I like to do that. It's fun for me. It gives me a little more entertainment during the broadcast. And I said, oh, you know, pretty general, nothing that I'm not going to catch you flat-footed on anything or surprise you with anything. And I mentioned something about the defense and then said, what are we going to do? Talk about the offense. Everybody's back.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what the offense is going to look like next year. Everybody's back.
Just like the Hoops team. And they're all going to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when he kind of blew a gasket and said, just like the basketball team.
I said it just like that too. I mean, no, seriously, Kyle Sturtevant is gone, and Kyle's been great.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, can we give sort of an homage for 30 seconds to Kyle Sturtevant, what he has sort of gone through here? You have a guy in Nate George that came in and basically became the starter in, I don't know, game five, maybe game six, and really cut down on Kyle Sturtevant's minutes. And Kyle, obviously a great kid from Norcross, was around these parts. And it just seems like he did not skip a beat. When his name was called, when his number was called, Kyle Sturtevant went in like a workmanlike basketball player that he is, and he's gotten better throughout the season. He never sulked his head. He really was that guy that you want your child to be when they're sort of demoted on their team. Kyle Sturtevant has been great. He's been the leading scorer on their team. I think it was like 3 out of 4 games here down the stretch. He's not even a scorer. He's a point guard. He's been bombing away from three, and certainly it's a big miss, no doubt about it. But for the most part, this team will come back intact. Getting back to the point you're making, as you know, Haynes King and this football offense and Eric Singleton and Malik Rutherford and all these pieces and the O-line, I mean, it's really a breath of fresh air for both teams, what they're bringing back.
I'm glad you brought up the offensive line because I was going to do the same thing. I mean, look, Connor Scaglione's going to be gone. But besides that, Ethan McKinney, the fabulous freshman left tackle. My goodness, how great was it to have that young man step into the fray and be such a quality player. Imagine how good he's going to be in a couple of years. Joe Fusel, of course, Weston Franklin going to be back. Jordan Williams will be back. We'll see if they can make a spot for Jakai Leftwich, and for some of these other guys to step in and step up as we move forward. But the offensive line is going to be in really good shape. Now, you're going to lose some offensive pieces. You'll have to – they're working on the tight end spot, which, of course, is so very important in this Buster.
But it was never, though – but it still wasn't a – it still wasn't a position – look, I'm not belittling what tight ends do.
No, we're about to get into it now.
No. Look, I love Dylan Leonard. I think he was a total leader on this team.
If you took the top 10 catches all year long, I would tell you right now that
big catches.
4 or 5 of them came from tight ends.
No doubt.
Okay, all right.
But the quantity of catches, it's not the guy you have to double team.
Okay.
You know, it's not Eric Singleton. It's not the speedster. It's the guys that do the blue-collar work that did a great job. But they're still only getting 11, 12, 13 catches the entire year.
Well, you're right. That's fair. Absolutely fair. Either way, Again, we're talking about the offense. Why? Because everybody always talks about the offense. There is no question the key for Georgia Tech next year, as it was this year, and as it has been each of the last few years, is on the defensive side of the football. You got to get things lined up defensively. Figure out who's going to be getting to the quarterback, how you're going to be potentially stopping a run game, and slowing down the passing game where, quite frankly, Georgia Tech, last year against the rush and the pass in total defense, it's one of the worst in Power 5. It's just no question about it.
Against the run was, I believe, the worst in the conference, and the bottom, I don't know, 5 or 6% in America.
Yeah, I'm going to get you the number because I want to remind myself what the exact number was in Division I football. Continue.
Yeah, no, the rush defense, they got exhausted, especially in the beginning of the season.
No doubt.
That game at Ole Miss that they were competitive in, they were within 7 with about 7 minutes to play, and then you could just see the wind come out of their sails.
Which game, I'm sorry?
The Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
Remember
well,
when
BC
suddenly...
BC, too.
Well, the BC game, right, yeah, exactly, yeah, with a great quarterback. That really wore them down. And you see the wind get out of their sails, and they did better by the end of the season, no doubt about it. There was obviously a defensive coordinator change. Things changed a little bit. But what we saw happen early on was that team, they were just on the field too long. They got worn down. They gave up late touchdowns. It looked like an implosion at times, and it wasn't good.
That was a game, by the way, the Ole Miss game, where you were within 7 at the start of the fourth quarter. People forget.
Oh, it was 7 or 8 minutes to go within right. 7, I believe. And, yeah, 3 touchdowns by Ole Miss late.
Yeah, Jackets finished 128th in America in rushing yards allowed. 128.
Not good. Not good, Jerry.
Not good, Jerry. 118th in total yards allowed per ball game. But as we talked about during the season, as Justin and I were on the network following this Georgia Tech football team all throughout the year, the passing numbers defensively really leveled off. And you ended up not being too bad, by the way.
But is that
in the
a
grand
byproduct,
scheme of things,
though? I mean, look, I'm going to give them credit. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But just to play devil's advocate, is that a little bit of a byproduct of teams just running more? Taking what they feel is their advantage and not having a pass?
I would say that, yes, and not disagree with that necessarily, except for when I look at the teams with some of the quarterbacks that they had, and those teams were prone to throwing the football. Louisville wanted to throw the football. Ole Miss wanted to throw the football. Miami wanted to throw the football. North Carolina wanted to throw the football. So, yes, some of those teams certainly went to the run game a little more than they would have normally, but that doesn't mean that Jackson Dart didn't throw.
He ran. Jackson Dart ran his head off in that one. Do you have the numbers there in all these games?
The statistics final?
I'm just curious because I don't remember too many teams throwing for 300 yards.
I can pull that up for us here as we're going through it. But
Drake may have been close. He may have gone over. But I venture to guess, if I put a number at 2.5, it may be under. I don't think too many quarterbacks, and college is not as easy, obviously, as the NFL.
Right.
But I don't think too many quarterbacks, and this is sort of to your point, went over that 300-yard mark.
I want for this team to try and get the defensive end position figured out. That's my job, number one. You got to get to the quarterback. And of course, Kyle Kennard, for those of you that do not realize, maybe it got lost in your offseason shuffle and you did not hear. Kyle Kennard's going to be gone. Noah Collins is gone. A few other names of guys who were not playing very much or were freshmen are also going to be gone. Reuben Pugh, all gone. You do have Kevin Harris coming back. Kevin didn't have an overly productive year last year, but he will be back. And so we'll see with some new guys coming in and potentially transfer-wise, okay, and the return of Sylvain Yunjuan as well back from injury. Now, you do have Josh Robinson. Let me keep running through these names, and then I'll get your thoughts on them. Anybody who sticks out, and you tell me what you think. Josh Robinson, the kid who played at Douglas County. You got Eddie Kelly back, who showed some signs every once in a while, was beat up as well. You're getting a freshman in, couple of freshmen. No, one freshman in particular. But then you're also getting the Furman kid coming in. Dadgummit. Barton. Yes, I'll have his name. Jack Barton, which I remember now because when I first read about it, I took a pencil, went and got my detective's hat, put it on, and stuck the pencil up in my hat. Jack Barton here, the Furman transfer. I'm ready to sack the quarterback, Mac. No?
Right. No, I'm with you. I get you. Wasn't great, but it was fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
What do you give me on it? 1 to 10.
5.
That's it? Just a 5?
5 was average.
Let me try it again. Jack Botten here, Mac. I'm the Femme Transfer. I'm in to sack the quarterback.
If you can get a typewriter going with the keys banging in the background, then I'll give you a little, right, little higher score.
Hang on a second. Yeah, change the mic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Hey, Mac, this is Jack Botten. I'm the Femme Transfer. I'm
going to
sack the quarterback.
Better, better, yeah. You know, the little
okay, good
wire in the background. I'm good with that.
All right, good. Seven?
Yeah.
All right, good. We'll take a look at the stats here, and I'll get you the numbers on some of these ball games and try to quell your curiosity. But is it linebacker or is it defensive end that you're more worried about? If you could, if the good Lord came down right now and said, Justin, I'm going to solve one of these for you, but you can only choose one. It's either the defensive ends or the linebackers.
I see this Tech team similar in vein to the Falcons, where they just are not aggressive enough and able to get to the quarterback. Mm. They have to get to the quarterback. I am okay with the linebackers. I think the linebackers are good enough. I think the D-backs have been good enough. I think they just need to get to the quarterback. What was that stat? The first three games, I believe they had one sack. It was really bad and apparent early on. I think they had four quarterback hurries in the first two games. Right. And I think they had one sack up until they got to Wake Forest, where you remember that game. The Demon Deacons were the best team in the nation getting to the quarterback. The Jackets were literally the worst team. The Jackets had, I think, nine sacks that game, and I think Wake had none.
Now, earlier when you were qualifying this number on the passing,
okay,
did you say you don't believe that one team passed for more than
three?
No,
okay. I said my over-under would be 2.5, and I think I may go under.
Okay. All right.
I just don't remember many 300-yard.
Louisville passed for over 300.
That wasn't a big comeback. Okay.
So did South Carolina State. That is what it is.
But
yeah. 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 But see, this fits the narrative that I remembered. Early on, you were giving up big passing ball games. But again, Georgia Tech's passing defense started to settle in as the season went along. Now, you could also argue, to your point, that some of the teams then decided they were going to start rushing the football a little bit more on Georgia Tech. But let me go through the numbers. Louisville went for 313. You look like you're double-checking me over there. What, do you not trust me?
I am double-checking you.
Oh, okay, I'm looking at
Georgia
Tech's official statistics here, Hanover.
Carolina State passed for 95 yards. What are you looking at?
Oh. I'm looking at our numbers.
Oh.
Okay, good job.
That's fair. Look. You were perfect. What was it, 45 years of perfection until now?
Six.
46. Yeah. Ooh, really?
Right. Then let's see. You are correct. It was under. North Carolina was the only team that threw for over 300 yards. Now, Louisville went for 247. Ole Miss went for 251. Bowling Green threw for 263. Miami, 288. BC, 255. Carolina, 310. UCF for 255. So while you didn't give up a ton of 300-yard rush passing games, right, and you're right about that, they were consistently up around the 250 mark for the season. I wasn't so worried about the secondary last year.
No, I
agree. It was certainly the rush defense. And I think if you've got a defensive end that can get some pressure, maybe in the backfield on edges, stay in assignment lane, maybe that's an answer. Or perhaps it's just in the linebacker core. Now, we know that there is some potential there in that linebacker core. Kyle Eifert, of course, last year showed that he could be potential all-ACC type kid. I've been talking about him since his junior year of high school when Georgia Tech came sniffing around and there was the potential of him making that move. Final seven games of the year where he started, he finished with 81 tackles, a sack, an interception.
Most on the team, by the way, tackles.
Seventh highest graded player on the defense, according to Pro Football Focus, if you believe in Pro Football Focus's numbers. No offense, PFF. But I feel like sometimes I have to say that. Trey Tatum is interesting. For those of you that do not remember, he entered the transfer portal but then decided to come back. Now, he's got some experience. He has been back and forth throughout his career, so that'll be interesting. They'll have to get that linebacker core shored up depth-wise because I do feel like they have some pieces that could be very, very good. Also remember that E.J. Lightsey, the former Fitzgerald Purple Hurricane, is coming in. He transferred in from the University of Georgia. They got a kid named Jackson Hamilton, who has shown spurts that could be really good, former Cardinal over at Louisville. So the linebacker core, I think, gets shored up before the defensive ends.
You know, I don't want to act sophomoric, but I feel like I have to do this.
Well, but you're comfortable in that role.
I am. Kyle Kennard, what is he? I'm putting it on a T.
I don't.
You're not. What I'm school not, did
I'm
he go
I'm not following.
Where'd
sorry.
He go? Kyle Kennard is a cock.
He went to South Carolina. That's right.
Yeah,
he did.
He's a cock.
He did. He went. He's a gamecock.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So you're disappointed that he's left.
I look. He was good. He had the 4-sack game, didn't he, in Wake Forest?
Yeah,
that was Kyle that had the 4. I think he led the team with 6. I'm not looking at the stats. I think he had 6 or 7 to lead the team.
I can probably look that up for you. If but I can find the right team, if I can read the right page.
Certainly, that's a big miss.
Apparently, I can't.
That's a big miss, but I do agree with you that Kyle Eford is going to be the man next year on this defense.
Yeah.
I mean, at a DeCula, right? He was a Falcon in DeCula, I believe.
That dude had an unbelievable high school career. Remember, DeCula
running back
was,
as well there, wasn't
that's
he?
Right. DeCula was playing in 6 and 7A football when he was there. I think they got reclassified the 1 year, or maybe it was half of his high school career. But he played 4 years.
Lost in a semifinal when they may have been the best team in 6A.
Yeah, right. He had 3,000 rushing yards and 30 touchdowns. It's all threes. 3,000-plus rushing yards, 30-plus touchdowns. He had 300-plus tackles and I think somewhere around 30 sacks. I don't even remember because we saw him at the end of his career. And dude played all 4 years at big boy football in 6 and 7A. This is the guy who has all the makeup to be an all-ACC type player.
He started, what, 6 games? I think the last 6 games only, and he led the team in tackles.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
Pretty awesome.
All right, so with that, we'll take a break. Really excited about the way this week is going to unfold and next week as well. As we lead you into the spring game, by the way, I do believe, and I shouldn't say this officially, but we are efforting to get the spring game here on our airwaves. We'll see. Will it be 680? Will it be over on Extra? Will it be a little bit of both? Probably a little bit of both. We'll probably start it here on 680, then move over to Extra. None of that has been verified. So don't hold me to it. We are trying to, work out the kinks, figure out the details, get the bugs out of the system. What
I do know, Chris Moodyham.
Yeah, what I do know is that coming up next, we're going to talk about Georgia Tech and its return to the ACC tournament as they'll take on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame tomorrow afternoon. You'll be able to hear it live here on The Fan 680, 93.7 FM.
The Fan is the proud home of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets for the next 5 years.
5 more years! 5 more years! Chuck, you're not chanting with me.
Oh, I'm used to the 4-more-year thing. This is even better.
The Fan and Georgia Tech have extended our partnership so we can continue to bring you Tech football and hoops for years to come.
Let me bring in the director of athletics for Georgia Tech. He is Jay Batt.
Thanks, guys. Couldn't be more excited to be on right after sharing the partnership news of our extension, and I'm ready for 5 more years as well.
Atlanta's Sports Station continues on as the flagship home of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, The Fan, and the 680 The Fan app.
Spring is Swarm season. Your Georgia Swarm are finishing the season strong with 4 more home games and a playoff push. The next game is this Saturday night, the 16th, with 3 more home games right behind that. Make sure you head to GeorgiaSwarm.com to get your seat for the fastest game on 2 feet. Georgia Swarm games are not only incredibly exciting, but they are a very affordable way to take your family or your date out for an unforgettable night of sports. So join me in supporting our Georgia Swarm in the last 4 home games of the season, starting this Saturday night, the 16th, at Gas South Arena. GeorgiaSwarm.com.
Ever notice all the noise around us? We wake to alarms in the car, we listen to the radio, we get home and turn on the TV. In the midst of it all, we are missing the most important voice of all. God speaks in a still, small voice, and the only way to hear Him is to quiet the noise and listen. Find some time each day to get alone, be still, read His Word, and listen. Getting to know God personally will enrich your life tremendously. This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
If you have been to Chuckingham Palace, you know that we now have gorgeous double front doors. Well, Dan Watkins, the guy that put that door in, told me some interesting things about it at dinner.
Atlanta is a weird market for front doors. For 40 years, builders have been installing odd-sized side lights as part of the front door, which is a huge problem now that people realize how much better their home looks with modern and beautiful double doors. Most companies will tell you the double door installation can't be done. It can be done, and we're the company to do it, no matter how odd the opening is. Let All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors be the ones to tell you yes.
My name is Pamela Conley. I've worked for Bruce Hagan for 22 years. It's been the best years of my life, and not everyone can say that about their jobs. I'm the intake specialist for new clients, so I am the voice you hear when you call our office and the first face you see when you come by. I love sharing my years of experience with people and alongside Bruce, helping them through what is so often a really hard time. My name is Pamela Conley, and I work for Bruce Hagan. Let him work for you. Hagan-Law.com.
As spring approaches, so does pollen season in Atlanta, but fear not. Central Heating and Air is here to keep your home pollen-free and comfortable. With Carrier's top-of-the-line products and Carrier warranties, you can breathe easy knowing your home is in good hands. Let Central help you with home ventilation and air quality products like air cleaners, air purifiers, dehumidifiers, and more. Turn to your Atlanta Carrier experts at Central Heating and Air. Call 770-GET-HEAT or visit them online at centralheat.com. Central Heating and Air, where comfort means quality and pollen stays outside where it belongs.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
It's time to sting 'em. And Chris Mooneyham and Wiley Ballard are bringing you the good word from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
You never know what you're going to hear in this business. You know, I'm not going to share that story. No. I'm not even going to keep it vague and not bring up the names. I don't really know that conception is what you should be talking about in this program. What do you think? I think I should just leave it alone.
As Westy said to me, I don't want to talk about it.
I really want to bring it up, though. I really, really want to bring it up. I'm going to leave it alone. God, I really want to talk about it.
So, by Dongo.
Look, a lot of people celebrated when Georgia Tech beat Notre Dame. North Carolina. Right. In 1990.
It's a big game.
Yeah, 1993.
Rasheed Wallace in that game?
The ACC championship. There's a lot of celebration going on, if you know what I mean. After the game, a lot of people.
Where were you that night?
Oh, wow. I wasn't inferring it was me. I was too young, I think, for all that. At least I should have been. Hey, big game tomorrow. Again, don't forget, The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM. Your home for the Georgia Tech Sports Network will also be the home of the Ramblin' Wreck Tip-Off Show tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, where we will lead you into the tip of Georgia Tech and Notre Dame in the ACC tournament. This should be quite the ball game. A 12 versus 13 matchup. And look, we've talked about this, maybe not ad nauseum, but a lot of people have talked about it. It's tough to beat a team three times in 1 year. It feels like, statistically, oftentimes we are proved, it is proven that that is not always the case. In fact, for a lot of people, they say it is easier. Just ask John Kincaid. But anyway, I don't think that's going to be the case here, though. I think Georgia Tech is going to win this ball game. They've lost one really close ball game to Notre Dame, and then one that, frankly, got away from them, an overtime affair, however. So you lose one ball game by three. You lose another one, I think, what was it, seven? The overtime game was about a seven-point loss. That one just kind of got away from you at the end. So an overtime loss and a three-point loss. I think Georgia Tech's going to get a win coming up here tomorrow, which, of course, would send them into the next round where they would face Wake Forest. I know you feel good about the ball game as well.
I feel great about this game for a variety of factors, including the one you just said. Certainly, a bad team shouldn't beat any team three times. And Notre Dame is a bad team, not a terrible team, but they're a bad team. They also have not fared well on the road. Go and look at this schedule.
Yep.
They won the overtime game here. They beat Louisville. That, I believe, are the only road wins this team has had. Now, Georgia Tech, go on.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say really quick, too, because I had that same number over here. 2-10 on the road, 1-1 on neutral site.
And Georgia Tech, I mean, forget about any stat. You see the upside of this team. You see what Baidongo and Miles Kelly and Kyle Sturtevant and Nate George, you see what they could do. Again, they beat Duke. They beat North Carolina. They won at Wake Forest. They won. They beat Syracuse. They've beaten Penn State at the Garden. They beat Hawaii in Hawaii. They beat a physical UMass team in Hawaii. This team, I don't think it matters where they are. I don't necessarily think they're a better team at home. I'm sure they are, all in all. You'd rather be at home. But this Tech team almost doesn't know better. They almost go out, and when they play well, they play really well sometimes. And I just get the feeling that this is a big ball game. This is one that extends the season. And I don't know. Call me crazy. I don't see it ending tomorrow. I really don't. I don't see the Irish walking off that court with a really good Marcus Burton, with a Braden Shrewsbury kid that had his best game here. He doesn't even average double figures. I just think Baidongo and Nate George and this team, I just get the feeling that they'll be playing a little bit deeper into the tournament.
Georgia Tech, of course, has won 4 out of their last 6 ball games. This will be a 2 p.m. tip, as I mentioned, tomorrow at the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Tech playing pretty well as of late, quite obviously. Notre Dame, as of late, well, at least in the last week of regular season play, lost a couple of road games, North Carolina and Virginia, so some stiff opponents. Fighting Irish 5-3 over the last month of play, however, inside of ACC play, and they did beat Wake Forest, both Wake Forest and Clemson, so we'll see how it all unfolds as we get together tomorrow for the matchup. Georgia Tech and Notre Dame will be meeting in the ACC tournament, by the way, for the second time ever. They met back in 2019. That was a Notre Dame victory.
Can we talk about Baidongo, though, again for a second, what this kid has
become?
We
should, before we wrap up the season of worth of shows.
I mean, just what he has grown right off the bat. I remember he missed the first, it was 4 or 5 games, and then he came in that blowout loss, the really bad loss at Cincinnati. 89-54. And I remember the feeling was, look, Rome wasn't built in a day. This kid's raw. He's got a good upside. Remember, he was signed by Rutgers, and he basically came over here. Coach came over here, and Baidongo suddenly became a Yellow Jacket. It wasn't like he's been planning on being a Yellow Jacket forever. So Baidongo comes in after being injured early on, and he looked okay. You know, nothing much to speak of, just a big, raw kid. And then suddenly, after the debacle in Cincinnati, and that's what it was, they dropped to 2-2. That's when suddenly the kids got in the starting lineup. I think Damon just threw caution to the wind. He's like, I'm not dealing with this. And he put Nate George, and he put Baidongo, and he just switched everything up. And it came back aces. The win over Mississippi State, where Tech never trailed as an 8-point home dog against a really good, it was undefeated then. I believe they were ranked 14th or something. And Tech took care of business, and Baidongo, that was sort of his coming out party. And then remember, they go up against Duke as a 13-point home dog. And it's like, all right, now they're going to be smacked down by Big Bad Duke. They never beat the Blue Devils. And they come out and pretty much pound Duke. Baidongo again suddenly emerges. And all of a sudden, this kid became a superstar, Chris. And if not for, you know, who you said in Marcus Burton, Baidongo is clearly the freshman of the year in the ACC. The guy won the game the other day. We've seen his game evolve in a matter of days almost, it felt like, early on. He started posting up when we didn't think he had that in his game. He's a beast down low. I mean, this kid is here to stay, hopefully. And he's a really, really good player. And he deserves his due because what has happened with this kid, nobody expected him to be this good.
Yeah, it's wild because in many ways, you know, you're trying to be knowledgeable when you cover a team. You do your research. You dive as deep as you can.
He was just a raw kid.
You know a little bit about
him. Right.
But you don't expect too much. This guy was a revelation. I mean, that's really the word for it.
Yeah.
I knew more about Nate George. This guy was a bit of a revelation. Just boom, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, wow, that's a great story. He went for a double-double.
Right.
Nice. Good for him.
Good game, right.
Yeah,
career
great,
game.
Great, great. That might be the only time we see it this year. Yeah, boom, he does it again. Oh. This is awesome. So he's going to be this kid that has a really good first half, maybe, or a good little stretch of the next couple of weeks. And then it just continues on and on and on. And, of course, he had his fair share of struggles, just like Nate did. But at the same time, he was far more consistent. Whereas at times, Nate would have a slow ball game. He had that freshman dip. But man alive, let's now switch to Nathan George. When he's been on this year, at times, I think the word to describe him has, I mean, is it appropriate for me to say at times he's been electric?
No fear. Yeah. Electric's a good word. I love watching
him
play.
I love no fear too. Yeah.
There's no fear. Again, and I'll tell the story again. I've mentioned it a couple of times here in the good word. Nate George, when he started that game, I believe his first start, it may have been the Duke game, whatever it was, game four or five, whatever. It may have been the Duke game, may have been the Mississippi State game. I was doing the pregame here and the halftime and postgame and all that. And I kid you not, Nate George was this young kid, came in, first start. Remember, he reclassified. He should have been a high school senior right now.
Right.
Should not even have been in college. Within the first 45 seconds of the Duke game, Nate George fired off three shots. And I said at that moment, oh my goodness, this guy doesn't care. He doesn't care they're playing Duke. He doesn't care it's his first start. This kid's a killer. He's got no fear. And I don't even know if he made any of those shots. He may not have. I don't remember. But the fact that he had no fear and he got up there literally in the first minute and was just chucking away against Big Bad Duke, loved it. I mean, it showed me. I didn't even care if he made those shots. It just showed me that this guy is a stud. This guy is going to step on your throat. He's an absolute killer. And that's what Tech needed. And that's what they have there at the point guard.
Yeah, well, and that's what they'll need throughout this buildup, if you don't want to call it a rebuild, this buildup under Damon Stoudemire, because he's the kind of coach that has no fear. As we've seen this year, he will not mince words with these guys. He will not mince words with those of us in the media. He will tell us like it is.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that, even if sometimes we don't necessarily agree with the timing of it. And that's fine, because it's his team. And he knows what's best. And oh, by the way, they did play better.
They did.
After his little speech. So he probably did know what the best thing to say was at the time and to push the right buttons. So you know you've got some future in Bidongo. You know you have some future in Nathan George. And we certainly have a future with Damon Stoudemire running the ship. And, of course, a host of talented players coming back for next year as well. All right. So that'll do it. The good word, man, what a year it has been through the football season, the fall, the winter, and now into the spring. Georgia Tech and Notre Dame will get together tomorrow at 2 p.m. in Washington, D.C. And, of course, The Fan and the Georgia Tech Sports Network will be your home for the Ramblin' Wreck tip-off show tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 p.m. For Chris Colwell, David Holloway, Wiley Ballard, and Justin Hanover, I'm Chris Mooneyham. Thanks for joining us all year long for this edition and all of our editions of The Good Word, live here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Thanks for joining us for The Good Word. Chris and Wiley have the latest on the Yellow Jackets every week following the Coach Brent Key Show from the Georgia Tech Sports Network and Legend Sports.
Make the most out of your daily commute or next road trip in a new Audi from Audi Atlanta. And what better way to do it than behind the wheel of a stylish Audi A5 Sportback? Hey, it's Finn, along with my friends at Audi Atlanta, here to introduce this city to the Audi A5 Sportback. With a versatile and athletic design, the beauty lies within, combining the sleekness of a coupe with the practicality of a four-door hatchback. And right now, you can lease the Audi A5 Sportback for $537 per month. Find yours at AudiAtlanta.com. And use the Jim Ellis Expressway to start or complete your entire purchase online, or shop in person on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Experience the thrill of driving like never before at Audi Atlanta. Offer applies to a 36-month lease, 2024 Audi A5 Sportback 40, $537 per month, 10,000 miles per year, with $4,731 due at signing. Example stock number A25954, MSRP $49,905, excludes tax, tag, and title fees. Offer expires 5/31/24 with approved credit.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
Baseball fans, get Fubo to watch your team without cable. Fubo has Bally Sports, ESPN, and more top sports channels. You can record games with the included DVR or stream them on the go with the Fubo app. Start watching today at FuboTV.com. That's FuboTV.com.